Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yudalit. Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yudalit, Ki Armon, Nutosh. We are continuing the discussion of what's going to happen at the time of Mashiach, or specifically the period we're referring to is the time of Sancheriv, the fall of Sancheriv. Ki Armon Nutosh Hamon Ir, referring to the destruction of the enemies of Malchus of Asher. Ki Armon Nutosh, the palace will be abandoned. Nutosh literally means Nezov. According to the Mitzudos Tzion, it will be abandoned. Hamon Ir Uzov, the multitude of the city will be Uzov also. Uzov is another word which means to be abandoned, will be empty. Ofel Vo Vachan. Those are two words which for our purposes mean exactly the same thing. Different types of towers. Different types of towers, Hoya, will be Be'ad Me'oros Ad Olam. Now the word Be'ad is an unusual word. In the context here it means you can exchange or replace the entire word Be'ad with the letter Lamed and attach the Lamed to the word Me'oros, which would then mean that these magnificent towers and structures and palaces will turn into caves. Just like a cave is a place where there's no one that lives, it's empty, there are bats, there are rodents, insects, it's empty, it's desolate. That's what's going to become of these magnificent towers and palaces and fortresses that were previously occupied by the nations of the world, referring to the Edom and Moab, all the nations of the world which brought pain and suffering upon the Jewish people. They will be destroyed at this point in time. So one more time, those words, the Ofel and the Vovachan. The Ofel, you look for specifically the translation of these two words, you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates Ofel Migdol, Uvachan Gamu Ke'en Migdol. Towers, these towers will be Be'ad Me'oras, which means Le'ad Limo'oros. They'll turn into caves ad olam forever. And who will occupy these buildings? Misos Piraim Mirei Adorim. It will be the joy of the Piraim. Piraim means a certain type of wild donkey. It's a wild donkey. So that's a drash. That's you already looked in Rashi. Per Adam refers to Yishmo. We'll get that one moment. But at this moment in time, it means it will be just on a very simple. We'll get to the level of Midrash in a few moments. On a very simple level, it will turn into a place that will be the joy of the wild donkeys. They will be free to pasture and eat the weeds that grow in these ghost towns. Mirei. It will be for pasturing of adorim, of flocks of sheep. Donkeys and flocks of sheep will pasture and consume. You know what? The sound, it's a little bit lower. Okay, I'll make it lower. Okay. Is it better now? All right. Okay, whatever. We'll work on the microphone another time. Mirei adorim will turn into a pasture of sheep for. That is what was going to become of all of these palaces. Again, the very simple time we pass it just very quickly because we ran through it very quickly. Ki armo nutosh hamoin ir uzov. The palace will be abandoned. The noise. A person goes into a large metropolis. There's a lot of sound. There's a lot of noise. A healthy noise of people going about their daily affairs. This healthy sound of communication of living will uzov. And all of these magnificent towers of these big, beautiful cities will be abandoned, will turn into caves for animals. They look in Rashi. Rashi says, referring to the Misos Piraim, Letavas Yishmoel. So that appears, Ulechay Loisav, that if we take this pasuk literally, it is referring who will conquer then this nation? Yishmoel. It's not exactly clear what point in time we are referring to, but we're referring to a period of time where the dominant figure is a certain nation. Maybe it's referring to Edom. And Edom will now be conquered by Yishmoel. Yishmoel will conquer the magnificent cities and towers and buildings that were once the stronghold of Edom and now will be free for the descendants of Yishmoel to occupy and take control, which obviously is a very scary thing relative to our times. what these words mean. Again, there are many layers of interpretation. This is a similar interpretation. This parak we're referring specifically to the time of Chizkiyahu when Ashur was conquered. But obviously, as we said many times, there are many layers of interpretation. There are veiled references to the other nations, either Yimos HaMashiach, which has not happened, or it could be referring to a very specific time in history, which has already passed, which we're not really, it's not really clear what point we were referring to. Okay, Pasuk Tesva, how long will this continue? How long will this situation continue? Where the enemy will be able to, this enemy or this desolation will continue. It will only exist until HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Ad Ye'ore Oleinu Ruach Mimarom, until the point in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pour down upon us a Holy Spirit. There will come a point in time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, will return to Klal Yisrael, and every simple person will be imbued with Ruach HaKodesh, a divine spirit, a will, a ratzon to serve Hashem. We see this happening in our times. Ad Ye'ore Oleinu Ruach Mimarom, until Hashem will pour down upon us a spirit, Mimarom, that comes from high above, and at that point in time, everything will change. V'hoya Midbar LaCharmel, what used to be a Midbar, desolation, a desert, will turn into a Charmel. Charmel is an orchard full of trees, fruits, and will blossom. It refers, of course, to spiritual blossoming. The Carmel, Layar Yechashev. Now, this in the Carmel, which we're playing around with the words in the Pasuk, the Carmel, which in this point means an orchard, you spread out the trees far and wide. Because if there are too many trees in the vicinity of each other, they will destroy each other. So in this context, we say that until now, in this world, there are a few tzaddikim. Ma'at, small few tzaddikim that are scattered here and there. But at this point in time, what used to be a Carmel, a little tree here, a little tree here, a little tree there, not much. When you look from the distance, you don't see very much. It will become a forest. Layahar Yechashev, a forest, the trees, it's even hard to walk. There are so many trees. You can't walk in a straight line. There will be so many tzaddikim, so many people that will blossom and will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What used to be a Carmel will now turn into a Yar. So we're using this positive word Carmel in two forms. First, we use it in the positive, and then we use it in the negative. In the beginning of the positive, we use it in the positive. What used to be a place of a desert, nothing, zero. There's no fruit. There's no vegetation. There's no food. There's nothing to eat. Will become a carmel, a beautiful orchard. But when we want to focus on the quantity of how many people will be tzaddikim, then we use the word carmel in the negative form. What used to be a carmel will now turn into a yar. So we're using the carmel both in the qualitative sense and in the quantitative sense. The first part is the quality. The midbar turns into a carmel, but it's not just quality, it's also quantity. What used to be a carmel will now turn into a yar. Pasik tes zayin. Vishochan ba midbar mishpat. And the desert will now rest mishpat. What used to be a place of desolation where there's no law and order. Go to the mishpat. If someone robs you in the midbar, who are you going to go to? There's a court. There's justice. There's nothing. What used to be a country, a world with that was a midbar, there's nowhere to turn to seek justice. Well, now there will be mishpat. Utztaka ba karmel teshev. And righteousness, tzedakah can refer to many different interpretations. It means lefnim mishur hasadin, tzedek, righteousness, or can just be another translation, another word which is a synonym for mishpat. But karmel teshev, in this karmel, in this place that used to be a karmel, now there will be tzedakah. So I guess if we take this pasuk tezvav and we connect it back to pasuk, we take pasuk tezayin and we connect. Take Pasuk Tezvav, we connect it back to Tezvav. In Pasuk Tezvav, we refer to the Midbar and the Carmel in reference to the quality. What used to be desolate will now turn into an orchard. So here we matched it up with Mishpat. Mishpat appears to be there will be quality judgment. And then when we refer to quantity, there will be an enormous, we match that to the second part of this Pasuk, Utztaka ba'Karmel Teshev, that there will be an enormous amount of tzedakah. People will be looking to do what is right, tzedek, lifnim mishur hasadin, or a higher degree of mishpat. Pasuk Yitzayin, v'hoya ma'asei hatzedakah shalom. At this point in time, Yimos HaMashiach, at this great time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours down His Shekhinah upon us, v'hoya ma'asei hatzedakah shalom. The actions of tzedakah will bring peace. The avodas hatzdakah and the work of tzedakah will bring hashket vavetach, security, two words which mean the same thing, ad olam, forever. Now, I have here a very nice svar to share with you to explain what this pasuk means. I heard this svar from a very big rav, and not the svar, just the first part, the first point that I want to make. I never thought of it like this. And he said, we always associate shalom with a sukkah. Ufroz solenu sukkas shilomecha. So this rav, he explained that, what is peace? We all think, many of us believe that peace is, you have to be in love with each other. We come to shul, there are different types of people, we come to a certain community, and we all have different backgrounds, and we don't really get along. That's really the truth. We're so diverse, it's impossible to see eye to eye on many things. But no, there is something called shalom. We have to work together. If we want to bring out the greater good, we need to come together. So there must be shalom. So I have to look the other way, you have to look the other way, we have to compromise, we have to figure out how to live together in peace. And that means we have to really come together 100%. That's impossible. We all know that. A sukkah, how many walls does a sukkah require? Al pi halacha. Two walls and a mashu. So that means you go into a kosher halachic sukkah, how many walls are missing? Just about two walls. Kemah, two walls. Half of the sukkah is missing. But it's a kosher sukkah. It's a halachic sukkah because there are two walls and there's a tini mashu. That's all that is required for peace. All you need is two walls. You just need, as long as the schach is not going to come, it's not going to collapse, it's not secure. When you sit in the sukkah, you feel the wind. It's hot, it's cold. But listen, you got a roof over your head. And there are two walls, at least from one side, there's a little security. That's good enough. That is called shalom. If you can live with your neighbor, and there's not, you don't have World War III, even though you don't agree on anything, but you're civil, there's a degree of a civility among the neighbors. You say good morning, he says good morning, you do your thing, he does his thing, and everything else we disagree on, but you, that is an incredible bracha. But let me ask you, when you go into such a dwelling that has only two walls, that has schach, are you secure? Do you feel secure in such a dwelling? No. There's no security. It's a shelter. It's better than nothing. It's accomplished something, but there's absolutely no security. A cat, some rodents, it's cold, it's completely open. There's no hashket vavetach. That's what this pasuk says. V'hoya ma'asei ha-tzedakah shalom. Ma'ase means to do. Give a few dollars, a dollar here, a dollar there. Do a good deed. Tzedakah does not only mean money. Tzedakah means you do a good deed. Be mechazik someone and say good morning. Just do, go through the motions. Don't get worked up. Don't have to invest your resource, time, effort. Go through the motions. Just v'hoya ma'asei hatzdaka. If you'll go through the motions, what will you accomplish? Shalom. You'll have peace. But what kind of peace are you going to have? You'll have two walls and a little bit, but it's something. V'avodas hatzdaka. Avodas, in contrast to masa, means you put in all you got. You work on it. You put in effort. You invest time, resources, energy. Avoda. That's a different type of shalom. Then you will accomplish hashket vovetach. The security is not just a froy selenu sukha shlomecha of two walls with a little bit. You have a sense of security. You surround on all four sides with strong walls, with strong ceiling. That is an entirely different quality of peace that will bring uvetach ad olam. So that is one. Yeah.
For Eitan, the organization that Lion, if you have no kids, they try to help you with fertility, whatever it is, made an album. On this pasuk.
Oh, really? Really interesting. That's a drush. Now there are a number of midrashim. There's a beautiful gemara in Masechta Bava Basra, and the Rabbi Basra takes the word ma'aseh hat, the avodas hatstaka. Let me read you exactly what it says here. why Lama Lenema Vahisa Hatztaka Shalom El Omar, why does it say Maase Tztaka? Let the Pasuk read Vahaya Hatztaka Shalom. What's the added? Why does the Pasuk add the word Maase? Referring to the beginning of the Pasuk, just the first part of the Pasuk. Why does it say Maase Hatztaka? So the Gemara makes a drush, don't read the word Maase, but read the word, in a different form, Hamaaseh. Maaseh with a segel beneath the sin means to cause someone else to do tztaka. It's one thing when a person himself does tztaka, but it's a much greater act of tztaka when you influence, when you inspire, and you are the cause of other people doing tztaka. That is what brings the ultimate bracha of shalom. We hold the entire Gemara with a little bit of interpretation from this sefer.
What daf is
that? This Baba Bash daf Tes Samad Aleph. Daf Tes. Shalom el Amar Rabbi Elazar. Gadol hamaaseh. Great is the one that causes. You stimulate, you influence other people to give tzedakah. Yoiser min ha'oiser, greater than the one who does tzedakah himself. Why? Because if a person gives tzedakah, so you have given reward, you have sustained a poor man in this world. There's a poor man, has nothing what to eat. If he doesn't receive something to eat, he's going to die. By you giving him tzedakah, you have sustained this poor man in this world. But ulam hamaaseh, but if you influence someone else who otherwise would have not have given tzedakah to give that poor man food, then not only have you saved this poor man from starvation, the games hanoisein, the one that you have influenced, inspired to give tzedakah, you have brought him l'chaye ha'olam haba. You have inspired him to do a mitzvah. The games nes l'chaye olam haba. Shnemar v'hoya maaseh atzedakah shol v'avodet atzedakah hashke v'vetach ad'olam. And the Gemara makes this drasha, don't read the maaseh, but maaseh, influencing God, this is the greatest thing a person can do in this world, is to be a source of inspiration for other people that they should do good. Often the people that you can inspire have the resource to do a lot more than you yourself can do, and that is a critical lesson to learn from this pasuk. Okay, let me just see if I've got anything here. I want to talk about the previous pasuk of pouring out. Okay, it's I left out something which is this is a very important point, a very beautiful drasha, and really it brings together Yeshaya and Yirmiya. Now we know Yeshaya is called Sefer HaNechamos. We lay in the Shiv Nechemta after Shavuos, after Tisha B'Av, the 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av, and also Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before, we lay in from Sefer Yeshaya Shiva Nechemta. Seven prophecies from Sefer Yeshaya. They're all from the end of Besides Chazon, which is the first Perek Mem. We have not even got there yet. Perek Mem is when we begin Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Yirmiyah is Peronis. Most of Yirmiyah is harsh. It's Musar. Yirmiyah and Yeshaya were obviously very different. Even though, I mean, it's hard for us to really understand this Mar Mechazah because most of Sefer Yeshaya appears to be gloom and doom. Right? It all appears to be let him have it, to say the least. Not only for the nations of the world, but unfortunately for us. So I think.
Would there be an English language?
What?
Jeremiah. Somebody speaking about
gloom and doom. Gloom and doom. But Yeshaya, there's plenty of gloom and doom. In fact, I think the majority of Yeshaya appears to be gloom and doom. So why then is Yeshaya called Sefer of Nechamos? That's another question. But in this Medrash Eicha Rabba Parash Al Pasuk of Gimel, he says something very beautiful. Going back on the Pasuk Ad Yeore Olei Neruch Mimarom, he picks up on this expression of pouring Pasuk Tesvam. Going back to Pesukim, Hashem will pour down from above a spirit from above. Yeshaya also says, use these same two words Yeore Mimarom. What did Yeshaya say? His words were Ad Yeore Olei Neruch Mimarom. I'm sure that's what Yeshaya said. In Yirmiyah, now Yirmiyah didn't say this in Sefer Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah said this in Sefer Eicha. So I have to really correct myself. I mean, Eicha also is a Peronis, but Eicha, of course, the ultimate Peronis. Yirmiyah said, Mimarom, Sholach Eish, be'atzmo sai. So the word is not from the word yi'are, but it's the word of mimarom. Okay, so we have over here this same usage of, it's not the exact same words, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending from above, he's pouring out. Yirmiyah said Hashem will send forth fire in my bones from above, mimarom sholach esh bi'atzmo sai, and Yeshaya here, the Medrash contrast that pasuk in Echa that was said by Yeshaya, who is the messenger of gloom and doom, with Yeshaya, who is the messenger of comfort, with this pasuk ad yore aleinu ruach mimarom, to teach us a lesson that Yeshaya, who came much before Yirmiyah, he saw all of Yirmiyah's harsh prophecies, and he wanted to soften them. And he softened them by taking the same expressions that Yirmiyah would one day say, would one day use, and Yeshaya preempted Yirmiyah with using the same expressions in a softer, comforting words of comfort. And that would dilute the intensity of Yirmiyah's heavy mussar. And that's what the Medrash, the entire Medrash inside. Mahu halashon zeh shebo hisnabe Yeshaya. What is this expression of Yeshaya? Ad yareh aleinu ruach mimarom. Elo, kein at motze. It's beautiful. This is what you find. Shekol nevuos koshos. Shenisnabe Yirmiyah al Yisrael. All of the harsh words of prophecy that Yirmiyah would one day say about Klal Yisrael. Either the Musa before the Churban or the Kinos after the Churban, Hikdim also Yeshaya v'ripan. Yeshaya preceded him and healed. That's the word the Medrash used. Healed the harshness of Yirmiyah with words of comfort. For example, this is the example that is cited. Yeshaya Omar ad ye'oreh aleinu ruach mimarom. Because Yirmiyah Omar mimarom sholach eish bi'atzmo sai. And this is a very important, you know, source for everything. The relationship, when you want to put together, it's not just a, it's not, it's only one thing to figure out, it's hard to figure out, you know, the complexity of Yirmiyah, of Yeshaya, all the parochim, what everything, how they all interlock, they're just all piece of one larger puzzle. But then you have to take everything that Yeshaya says and connect them to what Yirmiyah would say and what Yechezkel would say, and the Treyasar, many of them lived. The Treyasar, many of them were contemporaries. There were 12 of them. Some of them were early, some were later, but many of them were contemporaries of Yeshaya, and they all are referring to the same events, but they all have a different approach, and they all connect one into the other. Okay, let's go now a little bit further. Pasuk, yeah.
In this parrot, he's really strange. I mean, he's doing that.
I know all the parochim are very strange.
And then all of a sudden,
yes, that's right.
Over,
it like, switches over, yeah. Yes, that's right.
Changing all of a sudden.
Yes.
From terrible. Okay.
Well. If we remember the sequence. Let's remember exactly what happened over here. We're in the middle of the Nevuah of the Noshim. Sha'ananos, which means that we're discussing, he's going many steps, so you can go a step back. Yeshaya really was speaking to the Aseret Hashem, all the way back, was speaking to the Aseret, they both were afraid, there was Klal Yisrael, there was the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael, they both were terrorized from Ashur. The Malchus of Yisrael, they put their faith in Mitzrayim, to no avail. Along came Ashur and wiped them out in three different stages. That goes back to the beginning of Yeshaya. Three stages they were exiled. Who's left? Malchus of Yehuda. Yeshaya says, watch out. The Malchus of Yehuda, Ashur is going to attack. And indeed he did attack a very good part. The only last holdout was Yerushalayim. Ultimately Yerushalayim was spared. The great miracle. The last of the great miracles that happened to the entire Klal Yisrael, they were spared with the sudden death of the 185,000 soldiers of Asher. Then Yeshaya continues in this parak, but Noshim Shananos, don't become complacent. Don't, Noshim refers to many different interpretations, but still means all of the cities and the suburbs of Yerushalayim, you'll have a good 15 years after the fall of Sennacherib, but after those 15 years, I know what's going to happen. Yechizkiel is going to die, there's going to be a Menashe, there's going to be an Amon, and you're going to take a dive that's so deep you'll never recover, and you will be destroyed. And indeed, that's what happened. The Churban came about. What happened? The Beis Hamidrash was destroyed. When will the Beis Hamidrash be rebuilt? That's what all these Sukkim are telling us. It will be, there will be Churban, there will be Golos and Churban and terrible things, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the enemy. The ones who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed, Bavel, and then the Bayis Sheni, which really is the continuation, which is Edom. Then there's Yishmol, an allusion to Yishmol, the Para Adam, an allusion to these wild donkeys. And ultimately the time will come where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pour out His Spirit and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash in time of Mashiach. So there is a pattern. There is a sequence of events that are going from in his lifetime all the way through the very end. Okay, let's go for the Pasuk Ches. V'yoshav Ami bin Veshem. At this point in time, when Mashiach comes, after the Churban, after... You can learn the Pesukim very simply referring... V'yoshav Ami bin Veshem. My people will live in an abode of peace. U'v'mishkenos ma'mivtachim. Uvimnuchas sha'ananos. Three words which mean the same thing, or only four words which here in this passage which mean the same thing. There is shalom, peace. There is miv tachim, security. When there's peace, there's security. Uvimnuchos means a resting place. That's the same idea. And sha'ananos also means peaceful. Okay, four words. I'm not exactly sure the different, the nuances and different expressions. It means tranquility, peace, security. All from the same things. My people will live in an abode of peace, and in dwelling places that are secure, and in resting places that are tranquil. Pasuk Yutes. And by this, there's a medrash. There's a medrash that says that this, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give nechama to Yerushalayim with peace. The ultimate nechama that you can give a person is peace of mind. So at this point in time, we're referring to the comfort that Hashem will give the Jewish people. The end of days, it will be with comfort. B'nevei shalom. Omer, I'm reading from the Medrash. Omer Rabbi Shimon. Ahoy Rabbi Shimon. Omer, Godol HaShalom. Shekein ata moitzei she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu who asad l'nachem es Yerushalayim ela b'shalom. It's a beautiful Medrash. The comfort, the ultimate nechama that Hashem will say, HaMokim minachem eschem b'soch sha'avei l'itzion Yerushalayim. We always give a person comfort by, not only you should have comfort, Yerushalayim should have comfort. And what is the comfort? It's this pasuk. This is the pasuk that the Medrash, the Sifrei Zuta, Piskas Vav, says is the comfort that we wish a person, Rachman al-Sani, have to go to Eloheinu, Beis Avel. It's the Yashav Ami bin Vei Shalom. Okay, pasuk Yutes. It's a hard pasuk. We'll just read it. We'll read it one away because it's an unofficial parak. Uvarad Beredes HaYo'ar. Now what does this mean? So the Rashi has a little bit of a drasha. Let's turn right now, similar point to the Mitzudas. It means that when at this point in time, when there will be natural disasters, I mean that's a fascinating thing in itself, that you would think Tom Mashiach, or this period they're referring to, there will no longer be any environmental dangers. No, it appears, according to the Mitzudas, again there are many interpretations, but according to the Mitzudas, we're dealing with a period of time where the world is Olam Kiminhogoy Nog, and there will be times of natural disasters. And one natural disaster is hailstorms. Now, maybe we're not familiar in this part of the world, but hailstorms in certain parts of the world are extremely destructive. It was not so long ago. Every once in a while, in the news, hailstorms, they show little clips of what happened. But uvarat, when there will be a natural disaster, a hailstorm, don't worry. I will orchestrate events, hashkacha pratis, that will not come down upon you. The hail will come down upon a forest that no one lives in some unpopulated area. Uvarat, beredes hayar. When it comes down, it will come down hayar in the forest. It will not come down in a populated area, so you have nothing to worry about. Uvashifla tishbal huir. Normally, in our times, cities, they need protection. We live in a dangerous world. You need fortifications. And it is, we always said the Golan Heights. Why is the Golan Heights so... I used to hear a person darshaning about this. The Golan Heights, that it's a very strategic location. It's high. From that vantage point, you can control the entire region, the entire Eretz Yisrael. It is so critical to the security of Eretz Yisrael. It's not shaykh for there to be a Havamina to give up the Golan Heights. I'm sure there are other, okay, that's just one example, there are other very strategic vantage points in geography where a country, Eretz Yisrael, must have the upper hand, otherwise they're in a very great state of danger. When Mashiach comes, it will not be necessary. Uvashifla, in the lowlands, in the lands which are the most dangerous, the most vulnerable to attack, surrounded from all sides, Tishbal Huir, you'll lower the city. You will not fear to develop a city in a location that is vulnerable because it's a low land area and the enemy is surrounding you. Why? Because you'll have no enemies. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. And that's how the Mitzudos learns Pshat in this pasuk. According to Rashi, it's a little more difficult. According to Rashi, it is a description of Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the enemies. Uvarad beredes hayar. Hayar, according to Rashi, refers to the enemies of the world, enemies of Klal Yisrael, which today, in our times, are numerous like the trees in the forest. Wherever you turn, someone's out to get you. So Hashem, at that point in Mashiach's time, will send down upon them hail. Rashi says, now not just ordinary hail of fire. Uvarad beredes hayar. The hail will descend upon the enemies who are as numerous as the trees of the forest. Uvashifla tishbal ho'ir. And the second part of the pasuk, tishbal ho'ir, uvashifla means the Jewish people. The Jewish people who until this point in time in history have been low, have been despised, have been weak, have been the underdog, people who have been persecuted, the low people will suddenly rise up and they will be the ones that will tishbal ho'ir, will take down the mighty cities of the enemies, of Yishmael, of Edom, that have brought harm upon the Jewish people. So probably two different ways of looking at this pasuk, typical of here, Rashi, in the Yeshaya especially, the more you learn Rashi Yeshaya, the more fascinating it is to learn how Midrashic Rashi is. Rashi always in the Chumash says, Leibasi Ella to say Pshat. That's the Chumash. In the Yeshaya, he's not saying Pshat. 99% of the time, he's heavily steeped in Midrash and in the Talmud, in the, not just on the Halachic Talmud, but more of the Midrashic Talmud, to give interpretation of the Pasuk. Mitzudas always tries to say, even the Radak is also heavily steeped in Medrash. That's a Radak, it's all Medrash. But yet the Radak, many times, he says very simple interpretations of the Pasuk. Okay, one more Pasuk. We're out of time, one Pasuk. Ashreichem, this is a people Pasuk. Ashreichem, fortunate are you. Again, we're referring over here to Yimos HaMashiach. Time of the Mashiach, Hashem, fortunately, you, Zorei al Kolmarim, those who plant on all waters. All water. Mishalche Regel, you will send forth Hashar Vehachmar. Now, this passage should be familiar to you from the Sekhla of the Kamar. Sekhla of the Kamar, the Gemara talks about there are four different mazikim, Shor, Bor, Mave, Hever. And the Gemara wants to know what is Shor? What is Regel? So, what is Shor? The Gemara wants to know what is Shor? Shor, Bar, Maver, Hever. What is the first mazik? So the Gemara talks about that Shor, one of the subcategories of Shor is Regel. And what is Regel? Regel is when the animal walks and the animal trembles upon vegetables, upon a garden. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Mishalchei Regel, Hashor, VeHachamar. So we see here that it's associated. It is associated, regel is associated with the word mishalchei, mishalchei, regel, with the word shor. Regel is associated with shor, and it refers here to the animals trembling upon grain. But that's the Gemara's drasha. But the point is, what is the simple interpretation of this pasuk? So, simply it means that at this point in time you'll have an abundance of water. That's a very big thing today in the Middle East, water. Water, the water supply is a very big problem. There should be enough water in the future. Don't worry. At this point in time, Al Kolman, wherever you go, you'll always be a plant. There'll be a supply of water. You need not worry. And you'll be able to send forth, you'll have an abundance of grain. You'll plant on all water. Will not be a problem. And you'll have abundance of grain. And you'll be able to send forth your animals. You will not have to worry. Could be that's really what the Gemara means. That the animals will harm your garden or your or your farm. Because when you have so much, if you have a small little patch, a garden, or you have a small little field, and you have just enough grain, barley and wheat for your family to make a few dollars, you don't want your animals roaming around the farm. It's going to destroy the crops. And if it destroys the crops, you're not going to have panasa. But when you have an abundance, there's so much, millions of dollars worth of produce. So what's the big deal? It's not worth the effort to restrain your animals. Let the animals pasture. Let them run. So they'll step on a few tomatoes. So the world won't come to an end. You have plenty to spare. You'll have that luxury of being able to send forth the animal. Mishalchei regel hashor v'hachamar. That is the simple interpretation. Perhaps that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara here learned this past the law of regel, an animal causing damage, because the Pasuk is telling us that you're not going to be concerned about having the animal trample and destroy your grain. There are numerous midrashim that explain this Pasuk. One beautiful midrash is Mayim. We know Mayim is a code word for Torah, hoy kol tzomei luchu l'mayim. If a person is zorei al kol mayim, he learns Torah, all types of Torah, whether it's Talmud, Yerushalmi, Bavli, Medrash, and Tanchuma, and halacha, and all the different types of learning, then the regel shor v'chamor refers to the yetzahara. There are two main types of different forms the yetzahara takes up. One is shor, it's gaiva. The main characteristic of an axe is pride, beautiful horns. Chamor is laziness, atzlos. If a person devotes himself to learn Torah, Zoyrei al kol moyim, you'll be able to send away the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah of the Shor, and the Yetzirah of the Chamor. Gaiva and Atzlos, you'll be able just to get rid of. Another interpretation is that if a person, Zoyrei kol moyim, you'll be married to the two different midos which we desperately need in Klal Yisrael, leadership and Torah. Leadership is Shor, a reference to Yosef. Yosef is Shor, is Bechor, Shoroi, Hador, Lo, Karnir, Im, Karnav, the bracha, that bracha of Yosef. Yosef was the leader. He was the political leader. Of course, a political leader that is all rooted in Al Kol Moyim, that's rooted in Torah. And Chamor is Yisachar Chamor Goren. Yisachar are the Talmidei Chacham who learn Torah. Torah leadership. So if fortune is the nation that roots themselves on Mayim, they will merit to have leaders of the Shor Yosef and the leaders of the Chamor of Torah. All the Farshim take this same idea a little further. Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is the Shor, and the Chamor is a reference to Mashiach ben David, which also comes from the Koch of Torah. There are other references, but we'll leave it with that. Okay, so that is the conclusion of Perek Lamed Beis. We'll stop here.